Okay, open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter number 12. Hope you have your copy of God's Word with you and you'll look on with us as we look at this verse of Scripture. I thank you, choir, for that beautiful song and so beautifully done. Nothing like having a good choir. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 12. If you found your place there. While you're finding it, let me quote a couple of verses, and then we'll look at one verse here, Isaiah chapter 12. In Exodus 15 and verse 2, the Bible says, "The Lord is." That's my subject this morning. The Lord is. The Lord is my strength and song and my salvation. In Psalms 118 and verse 14, it says, "The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation." Isaiah chapter 12, I'm looking at verse 2. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation." Now look at the verse. Behold. That's a word that is used pointing to a person, place, thing, as well as action. So what he's doing is pointing to something or someone. And the someone is the next word. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. The word trust here is a Hebrew word, means to confide in. It means to set one's confidence upon. So he's saying, I'm pointing you to God. He's our salvation, and he's the one that we're to put our confidence and trust in. And he goes on and said, and not be afraid. The word afraid here is the word timid. It's the word cautious. He said, because God is my salvation, I'm going to trust in him, and I'm not going to be timid or cautious about it. I'm just going to jump on God. Amen. Then the next word says for. That word means on the account of or because of. And the reason, without caution and without timidness, he's just going to trust God and jump right into his arms, is because the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song, and has become my salvation. Amen. Those are Old Testament verses. The two I quoted and the one we just looked at. I'm going to ask you, in the light of that, a New Testament question. What is Jesus Christ to you? You'll notice that all three of these verses said, the Lord is. What is he to you? What is Jesus Christ to you? Now, the psalmist, he uses glowing metaphors to describe what the Lord is to him. And over and over and over, he says, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my butler, the Lord is my high tower, the Lord is my shield. And on you can go talking about what the Lord is in the terms of David. But what is the Lord to you? It won't mean a dime to you to know what the Lord is to David. Only what he is to you. You see, this thing has to become personal. Moses, Exodus 15, the psalmist, chapter 118, now the prophet Isaiah says, the Lord is my salvation, my strength, my song. Let's look at those just briefly, each one of them. First of all, he said, the Lord is my salvation. The indispensable thing. You see, there's a lot of things that's nice, but there's only one thing that's necessary. The thing you cannot dispense with, you can't do without it, is salvation. Listen to me, if you will. Jesus himself, he comes along. Yeah, I'm on. He comes along and he said, you must be born again. John chapter 3 and verse number 3. Would you notice that Jesus says this salvation is a divine requirement? You see, this is not your government requiring something of you. This is not just some preacher requiring something of you. This is God making a request that is a requirement. He said, you must be born again. It's a divine imperative. Watch what I'm going to say. He said, you must, and the word must here is emphasizing the indispensable necessity of being born into the family of God. Could I say it this way? For every human being that's born into the family of the human race, God said, you cannot dispense with this. You can do without a house, you can do without a new car, but you cannot do without the new birth. He said, you must be born again. He says in this Bible, he said, you must be born again. Now watch this, verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This word see here, let me say it. Have you ever heard anybody say, I tell you, I just can't see that? That's the word. God said it's an impossibility for you to see, understand the kingdom of God until you're born again, because the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He even goes on in verse 5 and said, you can't even get in. He said, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, he said, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. If you're sitting here in this building this morning and you've never had a second birth, you won't get in. He's telling us here, you must be born. Indispensable. You can't do away with this. You see, there's no ways around it. You see, you can leave right here and let's say go to the traffic light up here to turn either way you want to on 319. And they can work on the road and put out a detour sign and tell you you can go around this way to get 319. I don't know if you can or not. I'm just using this as an illustration. But you see, in the Word of God, there's no detouring. You can't go another way. The reason is, He is the way, the one and only. Well, we're talking about the indispensable thing right now. You say, preacher, why is it that I couldn't get it? Because, number one, you're dead. In spirit, you're disobedient. In soul, you're deprived in body in sin. All of that has to be taken care of. You see, there's no alternative. It's salvation or condemnation. It's either or. You see, there's nothing in between the salvation and the condemnation. God is saying to us in no uncertain terms. As a matter of fact, this word salvation in its noun form, what he's saying, he's telling us here the same thing that Moses did way back there. Moses cried out and said, stand still and see the salvation of God. What is God fixing to do? Deliver them. Yeah, the Red Sea's in front of them. Pharaoh's behind them. The mountain's on the other side. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What he is telling us is this. I'm fixing to deliver you. What is salvation? It's deliverance. You see, it's deliverance from sin's condemnation. We're guilty because we're sinners. But God comes in and delivers us from the guilt of our sin, from the condemnation of our sin, and saves us by His marvelous grace. And now it's not condemnation, it's salvation or justification, whichever term that you'd rather use. He's talking about the same thing, being born again. You see, the prophet said, "The Lord Jehovah is my salvation. I'm going to rescue you from danger. I'm going to deliver you from the bondage of sin." And what He's going to be is a Savior. You remember Matthew 1:21? His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall what? Save. You remember in chapter 2 of Luke in verse 11, He said, "Born this day in the city of David, a Savior." Do you remember in Luke 19 and verse 10 that He came to seek and save that which was lost? You see, Moses and the psalmist and Isaiah said, "My salvation." It won't do you much good to say a Savior. It has to be my Savior. You see, that's the only way it'll be good for you. You can say, "Jesus is a Savior to my pastor." But that won't give you a door of entrance into the sheepfold. Why? Because He's the door. It's not a, it's my. You see, it has to become personal, individual redemption. What is this salvation? It's a new experience of God. You see, every one of us come into this world and the experience of God, He's a creator. But until that creator becomes your redeemer, see it? It's a personal thing just between you and God. It's your relationship with Him. And it has to be intimate. Now, watch what I'm going to say. The Lord is my salvation. Indispensable, you can't do it with. But then He uses another word. He said, "The Lord is my strength." That's not the indispensable thing. That's the invigorating thing. You see, God doesn't save you and then leave you to the world. He invigorates us with His power. He fills us with His strength. He's my strength. He's my energy. He's my empowering. You see, the Lord not only saves us, the Lord strengthens us. Isn't that awesome? He didn't save you and throw you to the world. He saved you and filled you with His strength. It's a special relationship with God. It's an intimate relationship. It's personal. It's just between you and God. How close this brings me to God. He is my salvation. He is my strength. You see, it's individual love. It's an individual love that is individualizing. You see, God saved me, and He takes care of the need of my life. But the needs of my life is not the same as your need. You see, He not only loves us individually, He individualizes that love. Yeah, He gives us strength to face whatever it is that we need. Because of my intimate relationship with the Lord meets my need. Amen. You see, some of us in this auditorium have physical needs. Some of us have financial needs. Some of us have emotional needs. But you see, God in this congregation at this very hour is here to meet your individual need. Amen. Absolutely. You may be here lost and your need is salvation. Could I tell you He's here? Amen. Yeah, you know, you can't see him. He's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you see, you can't see a spirit. Oh, no, 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 no. That spirit lives within all of us that are saved by the grace of God. And the only way you can see that the Holy Spirit lives within here is the way that he acts through here. Yeah, yeah. You see, he saves you from sin so that he might live in and through you. Not that the world would see you. Oh, no, no. It's that they'd see him. Oh, yeah, living in our heart and in our life. And he invigorates us so that we can live the life of God. He said he is my strength. This Bible said in Colossians 1 and verse number 11, he said he strengthens us with all might according to his glorious power. He doesn't strengthen you according to power in this world. He strengthens you according to power in the world that is to come. It's his glorious power. In reality, he is simply saying here that he's going to strengthen us with the power of his glory. What is his glory? I know that the word glory is translated from several Greek words. I'm aware of that, and they have different connotations and meaning. But this glory is his character. You see, character is what you are. Conduct is what you do. So he's going to strengthen you with his character, what he is. Isn't that awesome? With his character. So he saves us and strengthens us so that we can walk and talk and live and act like he walks and talks and lives and acts. Isn't that awesome? He strengthens us with that. Well, he said, you can't live for God in 2019. You can't if God is doing the living in you. Yeah. Absolutely. You see, God can't live no other way but like God. Right. You see, he has to be himself. You can get married and live with a woman 100 years, but she'll still have characteristics different than you, and you won't never change it. Or she won't ever change him either. Could I tell you, you can get saved, but you ain't going to change God. No, he's going to live like himself. You see, he invigorates us like him. It is God that girdeth me with his strength, the psalmist said. The Lord is the strength of my life, Psalm 27. The Lord is our strength, Psalm chapter number 46 and verse number 1. What are you talking about? Well, watch this. The indispensable thing. What's the wording? The essential thing. It's essential. Look at here. Strength. The invigorating thing. The everyday thing. You see, God not only gives you the essential, he gives you the everyday. That means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every day he invigorates us with his life. The Lord is my salvation, indispensable. The Lord is my strength, invigorated. The Lord is my song, the inspirational thing. This is the first recorded song in the Bible, Exodus 15, verse number 1. First time they ever sung. Why did they sing? Go back to chapter 4, they just got redeemed. You see, when you get redeemed with the power of Almighty God, the psalmist said, he hath put a new song in my heart, even praise to God upon my lips. You got no right to sing until you got a song in your heart. Oh, absolutely. Would you notice he gives us the essential thing? Would you notice he gives us the everyday thing? Now, would you notice he gives us the extra thing? You can get along without the song, but God ain't that type. He'll put eggs in your basket. Oh, yeah, he'll give you a song to sing. I never shall forget when I got saved and I got a hunger for the Word of God and I couldn't get enough. I just got saved and I was so excited. And I was reading the Bible, and I couldn't understand much of it. So I went and enrolled in a Bible school. I wanted to see what this was saying. And I went in, and I was scared to death, you know. You don't know what they're going to do and what you're supposed to do, especially if you're already an ignoramus, and I was. And when we broke after the first class, I was going to night school because I had to work feeding my wife. And after the first class, they had what they call chapel. So we went into chapel. And they had a guy that was there. I don't know who he is. His last name was Moody. And they called on this guy called Moody to come up and sing. He never said a word. He just walked up into the pulpit area and started singing. I have a song to sing about my Lord and King. I melted because that's what had happened to me when I got saved. God had put a song in my, I didn't even know the psalm said anything about it. I just knew he had done something to me and gave me a song to sing about my Lord and King. You see, he gave me the extra thing. He put the cherry on top of the ice cream. What a God that you and I have. You see, we are children of God, and God has not only saved us by his grace, he's given us a song to sing. Because I know Baptist, and I know no preacher should get between the kitchen and the congregation. I wasn't born yesterday, and I've been preaching over 50 years. Give you this, and I'm through. I don't want to be, I'm just through. Singing enriches our faith. Yeah. You know how I know? He said singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, it enriches me when I sing. Sing it to yourselves. You may be like me. You ain't much of a singer. But when it's just me and God in the car, people that pass by think I'm a crazy. I'm just a singing, having myself a time. I don't care where I'm on tune or ain't on tune. As far as the world's concerned, it's the on tune in my spirit. Amen. And it enriches me. You know as well as that. Half of the satisfaction of anything is telling somebody about it. Yeah. You let a grandbaby be born into your family. Amen. You'll perk up then. Oh, absolutely. You may know him, Bob Daugherty. He's in heaven now. A great preacher. He used to preach a lot for me when I pastored. And he was the worst I ever seen. He is worse than any woman you ever seen. Flipping out his wallet, said, look here at my grandboy. Look at my grandboy. He'd aggravate me to death. I didn't have no grandkids. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. I told my wife. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. If I ever have grandkids, I ain't going to be no monkey about it. Yeah. But then there come a day when I become a grandparent. I took on monkey-like habits. You see, half of the satisfaction of something good happening is telling somebody about it. Amen. It not only enriches himself, but you see, singing encourages our friends. Colossians 3 again. Let me give you this, verse 16. He said, teaching and admonishing one another. How are you going to do this? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Did you notice how Miss Petty's singing encouraged you? Yes. See what I'm saying? It not only enriches our faith, it encourages our friends.
But the greatest part about it eulogizes the Father.
Listen to what the Bible said again, Psalm 69 and verse number 10. He said, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song. Yeah, that's the way I'm going to pray. Judges 5 and verse number 3. I will sing unto the Lord. Psalm 47 and 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Psalm 96 and 2. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. And we're told in Psalm 40 and verse number 3. Many shall see it and fear
the Lord when you're eulogizing him with a song. Many shall see it, watch this now, and trust in the Lord. You see, there's not only visible results, they see it. It said when you sing, there will be vocal effect on them, and they will fear and trust in the Lord, Jesus Christ. He sees not only my salvation, the essential thing, he's my strength, my invigoration, the everyday thing. But he is my song. He's the extra thing. I'm closing with this. Watch closely. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my invigoration. And the Lord is my jubilation. He's everything. I'm asking you, do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Have you spoken to him today? Are you still on good terms? Do you know him personally? Maybe you're here and you don't, but you sure would like to. If God could do all that for you, would you not want it? It's free. It won't cost you anything. You say, what will I have to do? Here it is, coming to me. Not to the Baptist. Come to me. It's a personal thing. And here's what he said, I give you rest. You won't have to worry about the past and sin anymore. You won't have to worry about the future and judgment anymore. Because right now in the present, I've taken care of it. By coming and saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You see, it's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Repentance. Change of mind. What does that mean, change of mind? All of a sudden you say, oh, I changed my mind. I'm the one that's wrong. He's the one that's right. And so then you confess. Say the same thing he said about it. If he called it sin, you call it sin. And then what happened? Transformation. When we by faith trust him, he transforms our life in time, but it's for all eternity. Because you see, time's going to stop. But what he's given you won't never stop. You have eternal life in Christ. We're going to pray and the musicians are going to come. We're going to give an invitational verse. And whatever you usually do, do it. And I'll just blend in with you. Okay? And if you're here and you need Christ, you've chose the best day to get saved. Today. Now is the accepted time. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you would take the word of God, manifest yourself in such a way that someone would want to come with a hunger and a thirst for Christ and cry, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Father, do what needs to be done. Then if there's one of your children here and they have your salvation, but they've lost your song, would you put a song back in their heart in this service today? For which we'll give you the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're